And let us turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 12 through the end of the chapter. As we continue looking at the Acts of Christ, as we said last week, as we see in the opening verses there, these are the things that Christ continues to do in His church. So, Acts chapter 1, beginning reading at verse 12. Let us hear together the word of Almighty God. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, although the number of the names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akel Dama, that is, a field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office.' Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we see the disciples being obedient to the command of Jesus. They were to stay in Jerusalem until the promise that God would send, the Holy Spirit, would come upon them. And they stayed together. But at that same time, we see them taking up the mantle that Jesus had called them to do. He said to them in the previous verses that they were to be his witnesses. Verse 8, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And notice where Peter goes with this fact. He says one of the witnesses is down. We're missing Judas, who had a part in this. And so we need the full 12. And so we need to come up with a apostle from those who have the qualifications, which he notes here. And as we think about this fact, the disciples were, during the time that Jesus was on this earth, very much fading flowers. They were not people who stood up about the truth. Later on in the book of Acts, we are told that the chief priests were amazed that these men from Galilee had such knowledge and had such boldness. Now, brothers and sisters, as we live upon this earth, Perhaps we have thought of different ways in which those who have gone before have carried the charge of God's church. And perhaps we have sat at a funeral and said, Lord, you have taken a great general from your church with the loss of this person. But brothers and sisters, as we think that, perhaps we have also said, who will God raise up? Well, brothers and sisters, we, as we see this passage, are being called to be Christ's witnesses as well. How do we see the church? Do we see the church as somewhere we go on Sunday morning? A place where we get together and then we go our separate ways? Or do we see the church as us living in this world? Do we look at ourselves as a passenger? Or do we look at ourselves as those God has called with His gospel to live it before the world, to stand, to raise the banner of our Savior in a world that stands against us? The apostles had spent their time hiding behind Jesus. And they're saying, we need to be witnesses. And brothers and sisters, are we hiding behind those who have gone before, who are still standing ahead, perhaps? Or are we waving the banner? Are we taking the charge, going forward with that gospel? And so the theme as we look at this passage is Christ's disciples take up their place as Christ's witnesses. Christ's disciples take up their place as Christ's witnesses. We look at verses 12 through 14, we see the continuing disciples identify as witnesses. In verses 15 through 19, we see that the disciples note the need for a witness to replace Judas. And in verses 20 through 26, we see a replacement apostle is chosen. But the disciples take up their place as a part of Christ's witnesses. Notice there's a difference between apostles and disciples. A disciple, to be a disciple of Christ, is to be someone who follows Him. An apostle has specific characteristics that we see listed there later on by Peter. Therefore, verse 21, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when He was taken up from us, one of these. So the qualifications were that He needed to be there from the baptism of John all of the way through the ascension of Christ. The disciples are identified as witnesses. So and the disciples were obedient, staying in Jerusalem. Jesus told them to wait there. Verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were called to be there. They had returned from all of it. Jesus ascended at Mount Olive. He did many things there with His disciples. And as they come back, where they stayed, we have a list of the apostles. When they had entered the room, they went up into the upper room, verse 13, where they were staying, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. We have their names. Why? Because putting down your name is an important part of being identified. And as we have church membership, we put down our names and say, I am a member of this church. Many churches don't have that anymore. I love our pastor when I was in seminary, Reverend Wright, said, I'm probably on the lists. I've been inside of the church across the street. They probably count me a member. How many churches deal with that? There's not much for true identification as a member of that church. We want to be very careful that we are on the same page and understand. And we swear that we will be obedient to the church, that we will believe the things the church believes, to be members. Well, for the disciples and for the apostles, I'm sorry, I keep using that word, and honestly, my outline uses that word incorrectly a few times. The apostles are saying, yes, this is us. These are the ones. And by the way, one of the things we have their witness is to know who is trustworthy, who is to be considered an apostle. There would be others who would claim to have been apostles, but these were the ones who were the approved witnesses that we should be listening to. Notice, by the way, I talked earlier about apocryphal things. Guess they always use some apostle's name so that you think, oh, this is good stuff. No, we need to listen to the truth of God's Word. We've been talking about that in Ladies' Aid, the importance of the Word of God and knowing what the Word is. And so they have written down their names. Another reason we have lists of pastors that we take great time and pains to examine pastors for licensure and for ordination, so that we can say, yes, this man is approved to exhort and then to preach the gospel. And so we have the list here of who they were. And we have what they were doing. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They gathered together there in Jerusalem that they would have be where Jesus had told them to be when the gift of the Holy Spirit would come. They spend their time in one accord, in unity, in great unity of the apostles and of the disciples at the time, in prayer and supplication, praying, trusting God with their situation, acknowledging God's control over it, in supplication, bringing their requests before God. And notice there were others with them. The women, we don't know exactly who that was, probably Mary Magdalene, and there was another Mary, and we don't know who exactly that those would be. Others, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had joined them, and Jesus' brothers, were told. And then the disciples saying, okay, we are to be witnesses, but as we said, we're one witness down. They note the need for a witness to replace Judas. And Peter addresses Judas' absence from the light of prophecy. In the midst of this circumstance of prayer and waiting, Peter gets up. And we're told that the number of those at this point were about 120 persons. And as we've said, there's a difference between being a disciple and being an apostle. An apostle speaks to specifically the 12 apostles with the qualifications we've talked about. Disciples were those who had begun following Christ alongside of the apostles but didn't have those other qualifications. And Peter addresses that there was one missing, Judas Iscariot. He said, that which the Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. He addresses it in light of the Bible and in light of the what we think of as the Old Testament, but it was what they had at that point. And he says, "This was spoken by the mouth of David," Psalm 41, verse 9, "even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Judas was numbered with the 12, and he became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. He says further, "He was numbered with us and had part in this ministry." Judas had been so deeply involved that he had become the one who had carried their finances. We were told elsewhere that he did this so that he could steal from them. And then we're told of what happened to Judas, verse 18 through 20. Judas' remorse and suicide. Judas desired to return the silver, showing that he knew that Jesus was innocent. But we have to understand that he was not truly repentant of his sin of betraying Jesus. We read in Matthew 27, verse 3, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the pieces of silver and said, 'It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood.' And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel pierced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me.'" Well, we have to understand, Judas was remorseful. He was sorry that what had happened, but Judas was not truly repentant. He was not able to believe. We're told, Mark 14:21, "The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And there are times, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that God does not allow repentance. If we go deep enough into sin, we have to realize that God may not allow us to turn back. Of course, God is sovereign in these things, but we have to understand that. So it is very, very dangerous to continue in ways of sin without being checked. Just as Judas was not going to turn back. And so they've purchased a field with the wages of iniquity. Zechariah 11, verse 12, "Then I said to him, 'If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages and do not refrain.' So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." And Judas hung himself, we're told, as we read. We read verse 20 of our text, "For it is written in the book of the Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate and let no one live in it.'" The potter's field, we read there in Matthew. "And let another take his office." And so the replacement apostle is chosen. Peter, having discussed this fact, now comes to his point. We need to fill Judas's office. We need this full witness of the 12. As we said, it was prophesied by David, Psalm 69:25, "Let their dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in their tents." And then Psalm 109, "Let his days be few and let another take his office." And so then to the idea of replacing Judas, the qualifications for apostleship. "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us," we're told, that they're seeking a replacement. "All the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. One of these. So Peter says we need someone who can witness to the whole life of Christ. And I think it's a very interesting thing, because I would argue that his office, Judas's office, was more directly fulfilled by whom? Paul, right? But they were seeking to be obedient. They were seeking to be witnesses. And so they're choosing someone from those who had that witness, who could tell of Jesus from his baptism by John all of the way to the ascension into heaven. And brothers and sisters, we are told that we did not follow cunningly devised fables, Peter puts it, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The Bible has for us eyewitness accounts of what Jesus did, of the salvation that God has purchased for us. And so, we look at what is being said. He says, we need to gather together to have this, to replace Judas. And they proposed two. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed, and they said, you, O Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. So, they pray. They seek God's guidance. Now we can talk about offices in the church. We can spend time looking at the wording here. It's very clear. If we look at whom he's addressing up earlier, verse 16, he says, men and brethren. And those words are very clear in Greek that he is talking to the men of the group. And then he says, verse 21, of these men. And then we go forward. He speaks to, we need to God guide us. In the midst of the idea of choosing those to lead the church, we have to understand the power of God guiding the choices, the decisions. The decision falls, or the lot falls into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. We're told in Proverbs 16:33. And so, these are brought before the disciples. And they cast their lots. Now, it's interesting, the language here as well is a little bit interesting to understand. Normally, when you cast a lot, it would be a stone that was colored or something like that, and it was used for a random choice. The words here are different than what is normally used. They gave their lots. Elsewhere, we're told that the choice was, the word is very clear, by the raising of hands to vote. It's a word that's very, very clear. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. They may have actually literally cast lots, but the language is a little bit less clear about that than normally would be. And so the choice is, of course, as we said, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. No matter whether it was a random choice or something else, the decision is from God. And so then the lot fell on Matthias, who had these qualifications, as we've noted previously, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, that he would take up his witness of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want in our minds. As we go forward, we need, as Christians, to take up our position in Christ's church. Not to be viewers, but to be active parts used by God for the furtherance of His Word. Too often, we sit back. Oh, somebody else will do it. But brothers and sisters, as we think about the loss of Judas, and yes, he was used by God in the manner in which God had directed for that, but someone needed to take up that witness. And today, as there are many in churches that are growing old, who is going to take that up? It ought not just be individuals. It needs to be each one of us. How do I take that up? To witness the gospel in my life as a part of the church, being an active member. To do what God has called me as a member of His church. To be Christ's witnesses. And it does, I don't know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you I know exactly what that means for each one of you. But brothers and sisters, as we look at ourselves, what has God called you, me, to do in His church? Every one of us has an office. The office of church member is important. And that doesn't just mean I get to sit in a pew. That means we're to be actively serving God with the gifts that God has given to us, with the witness that God has given to us in our lives. And so as we consider the replacement of Judas, as we consider Matthias standing up, as we consider the names of the other apostles standing up and saying, we are going to carry this witness forward that Jesus committed to them before ascending into heaven. What place do I have? What place do you have to stand with that gospel as well, to be His witnesses in this world? Amen. Let us rise, let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You that You have brought the witness of Your gospel to us here today, that You have not failed, and we know that You will not fail. And yet, Lord, it is too easy for us to sit back and not go about the witness that You have given to us. Help us, Lord, to be active with the witness of the gospel that You have given to us. To stand, to wave the banner of Christ, instead of hiding behind those who stand as great figures in our culture today, in the church culture today. We pray, Lord, raise up from among our number many great figures who would spread Your gospel to this world. Use us. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses, not fearing man, but standing in the glory of our awesome Savior. We pray, Lord, use us, that we would take up that witness. And we pray, Lord, raise up future generations through us of those to carry Your gospel forward. We pray it relying on the power of Your Holy Spirit. For we know that we are not adequate for this. But knowing that You are able to use us miserable sinners, us, those who would hide rather than stand. Use us, Lord, for Your glory. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.